Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Central Bohemian Regional Council has concluded that the Prime Minister does not have a conflict of interest. Over 20,000 homes without power are in the Czech Republic as high winds batter the country. And 10 people have been charged with corruption in the government agency Czech Tourism. The Regional Council of Central Bohemia has halted an infringement procedure against Prime Minister Andrej Babiš on the grounds of a complaint regarding a possible conflict of interest. The news was confirmed by Babiš's lawyer Václav Knotek, who said the Regional Council had found no evidence that Andrej Babiš had any influence over the companies he had placed in trust funds to meet a strict new conflict of interest law. A complaint against the Prime Minister was previously debated by the Černošice Council, which arrived at the opposite conclusion and meted out a 200,000 crown fine for the offence. Babiš appealed the decision. The Czech branch of Transparency International filed a complaint with the Černošice Council, a small municipality just outside Prague where Babiš lives, because Czech law states that conflict of interest complaints must be registered with the relevant local authority. Over 20,000 homes, predominantly in central Bohemia, have been left without power due to strong winds that battered the Czech Republic in the night hours. Emergency crews have been working around the clock to clear roads and railway lines from the fallen trees. A number of rail links have had to be scrapped, and Czech Railways has arranged for a bus replacement service. A high wind warning remains in place throughout the day. No injuries have so far been reported, though. The Czech police have begun the criminal prosecution of 10 individuals connected to dubious public contracts issued by the government agency Czech Tourism, which are worth an estimated 27.3 million crowns. A former manager of one of the agency's departments has been charged with manipulating public tenders, while the other 9 suspects are charged with bribery. The information was provided by the spokesman of the National Centre for Combating Crime. The news site Seznam Spravy actually reported on Friday that the name of the manager is Aleš Pangrát and the charges relate to propagation contracts. He has since confirmed that charges have been brought against him, but he has refused to comment any further. Teaching trade unions have asked for a meeting with Prime Minister Andrej Babiš about their planned January salary increase and remain on strike alert. The unions originally wanted a 15% increase to their salaries as opposed to the government's planned 10% pay rise, but have since agreed to the percentage proposed by the latter. The issue now revolves around how the extra pay should be handed out. The unions have so far not commented on a new proposal by Education Minister Robert Plaga from the ANO party, which would see a flat pay increase of 2,700 crowns with a further 900 crowns available in bonuses. The government previously promised to increase teachers' salaries by 150% of their 2017 wages by the end of the current election term. The ANO party rose slightly in the polls in September and would receive 31% of the vote, according to a median agency poll which was released on Monday. At 13.5%, the Pirates retain their position as the second strongest party, and they are trailed by the Civic Democrats, who have 12.5%. The Anti-Migrant Freedom and Direct Democracy Party would receive 7.5% of the vote, followed by the Social Democrats, who are polling at 7%. The bottom three parties that are polling above the minimum level needed to enter the Chamber of Deputies are the Communist Party at 6.5%, Topo 9, and the Mayors, who both received 5.5% according to the poll. That means that all of the parties which are currently in the lower house would retain their representation. Children's rights and their treatment in Czechia have not improved much in the past 8 years, according to a new report by the Czech Helsinki Committee, whose details were discussed at a press conference on Monday. The document will be examined later this week by the UN's Committee on the Rights of the Child. The analysis states that care for endangered children is still splintered across multiple ministries. The amount of boys and girls in foster homes, while down since 2011, is still high, and children's opinions are not always taken into account at court, the report states. According to Miroslav Prokesh from the Alliance of Children's Rights, Czech society still sees children more as objects rather than partners. More than a quarter of Czechs developed their computer skills last year, with self-study being the most popular method, according to an analysis by the Czech Statistics Office released on Monday. The country ranks sixth in the EU28 8 points ahead of the average score, which lies at 20%. Finland, on the other hand, dominates the ranking, with 64% of its population between the ages of 16 to 74 improving their computer skills. In the Czech Republic, the percentage of those cultivating their information and communication technology skills depends on the age group. Among 16 to 24-year-olds, for example, it is every second individual. And when it comes to weather, temperatures will rise on average to 22 degrees Celsius on Tuesday. Rains in the northern part of the country are likely to continue, while in the central part they are expected to stop. However, heavy clouds will form over the Vysočina, central and southern Bohemian regions. My name is Tom McEncrow, and that is all the news for now. Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the foreign service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, the Central Bohemian Regional Council has concluded that the Prime Minister does not have a conflict of interest. Pulsar students are celebrating Chicago's Czech and Mexican heritage. And later in the programme, Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby explains how he became a Czech citizen. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Regional Council of Central Bohemia has halted an infringement procedure against Prime Minister Andrej Babiš on the grounds of a complaint regarding a possible conflict of interest. The Regional Council has thus invalidated a decision by the Černošice Council, the municipality where the Prime Minister lives, which arrived at the opposite conclusion and fined the Prime Minister for the offence. Daniela Lazareva has more.
A complaint regarding the Czech Prime Minister's possible conflict of interest was not only dealt with by the European Commission in Brussels. At the instigation of Transparency International, it also reached the municipality of Černošice, just outside Prague, where the Prime Minister lives, because under Czech law, conflict of interest complaints must be registered with a relevant local authority. Both the European Commission and the Černošice Council arrived at the same conclusion, that Prime Minister Babiš has a conflict of interest, and it is interesting to note that the Černošice Council arrived at this conclusion first, setting a 200,000 crown fine for the offence. The Prime Minister promptly appealed the decision of the Černošice Council, and the Czech Republic responded to the preliminary audit drafted by the European Commission with numerous arguments against the stated conclusion, contradicting all the points made. Although the European Commission is still studying the Czech response, it seems that on home ground the matter is closed. The Regional Council of Central Bohemia has now halted an infringement procedure against the Prime Minister, invalidating the decision of the Černošice Council and the debt meted out. Andrej Babiš reacted to the news on Monday, saying he had expected no less.
The whole thing was completely nonsensical from the start, because if Czech lawmakers approved a strict new law tailored to my case, a law dubbed Lex Babiš, and I met the requirements of that law fully, then logically I cannot have a conflict of interest.
Transparency International, which filed the complaint, says it is not surprised by the outcome and has asked for the justification of the decision to be made public. David Ondráčka is head of the Czech branch of Transparency International.
The Černošice Council showed a lot of courage and faced the issue squarely. We have serious doubts, however, about the decision of the Central Bohemian Council. There was a change of guard at some posts due to an unexplained reorganization, so we're questioning whether this really was an independent decision.
Opposition parties are also questioning the decision reached on the grounds that the Central Bohemian administration is dominated by the Prime Minister's ANO party. The governor of Central Bohemia, Jaroslava Pokorna Jermanova, said the case came to the Central Bohemian Council within standard procedure and sharply rejected any bias. The decision of the Central Bohemian Council cannot be appealed, but the ombudswoman is in a position to file an administrative complaint against it.
Daniela Lazarová with that report there. Now, Chicago has been a major centre of Czech immigration to the United States since the 1850s. Today, the district of Plzeň, which those settlers founded in the 19th century, is decidedly bohemian, in the sense of being offbeat and arty, but predominantly it is Mexican. In celebration of the two cultures, students from the original Plzeň have installed street murals in its namesake sister city, depicting Czech history and culture with a Latino flair. Brian Kennedy has more.
The walls of an old railway embankment stretching from the Chicago River to a few blocks north of the Bohemian Public Hall and Dvořák Park host an ever-changing outdoor gallery of vibrant murals. Among them now is a mural of a Czech girl in folk costume reflecting Pilsen's modern makeup. It is the work of Martin Kelbil and fellow students of the Ladislav Sutnar Faculty of Design and Art at the University of West Bohemia.
I got the idea while looking at murals in Pilsen, Chicago. I noticed people here like portraits, so I wanted to hold on to that while linking the neighborhood's Mexican residents of today with the original Czech migrants. So I painted a girl in kroj, but with Mexican motifs.
The Great Chicago Fire of 1871 largely spared the Pilsen district, which is still defined architecturally by the heavily corniced neo-Bohemian Baroque style favored by early Czech migrants. The Windy City was something of a second home to Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk before he became the first president of Czechoslovakia just over 100 years ago. When thinking about how to celebrate that centennial, teachers from the local T.G. Masaryk Czech school embraced the idea of a kind of Czech-Mex mural and presented it to Professor Renata Fučíková, a renowned artist and illustrator at the Sutnar Faculty in Pilsen, Bohemia.
Last year, a group of my students came here to create a mural recalling Czech ties to Chicago. They made a somewhat political painting depicting Masaryk and his wife Charlotte, as well as former Chicago mayor Anton Čermák. This year, they made a mural depicting Pilsenita, as the Mexicans now call her, a Pilsen girl. She's wearing a Czech kroj and a holubička headdress, but with Mexican embroidery, and all around her are dancers who could either be Czechs or Mexicans.
The new mural's unveiling this month wasn't the only event recalling Chicago's Czech past. The exhibition 100 Good Things, based on a book by Professor Fučíková's students, is now in Chicago's Pilsen, fittingly installed in a Mexican microbrewery, having debuted in Washington, D.C. last year for the Czechoslovak centennial.
Ahead of the 100th anniversary of the Republic's founding, I thought about mapping our history and asked my students to choose positive events from each year, even from those years of occupation or invasion, and they really managed to do so. The project aims to both mark those 100 years and stimulate our minds. We Czechs have a habit of lamenting and commemorating the bad things and forgetting our strengths. That even in those dark years of war or totalitarianism, we had Nobel Prize winners in literature and science, set sporting records, and invented great things.
Professor Renata Fučíková ending that report by Brian Kennedy there. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague International, the foreign service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature of the day. Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby became a Czech citizen around this time last year. Since then, so many people have asked him about the process that he decided to describe the whole experience in detail.
Last October, having lived in the country for just over 25 years, I became a citizen of the Czech Republic. In my native Ireland, citizenship ceremonies take place in a huge hall, involve thousands, and get covered on the main evening news. At the Prague 3 Town Hall, no more than five people had arrived to make the oath on the same morning as me. During the short ceremony itself, each of us new Czechs got one all to ourselves. The only other people were two officials, my wife and my friend Rob. Actually, there was a third Town Hall employee at the back, but her job was just to press play on a recording of the national anthem, Kde domov můj, which I love, and was very happy to stand through alone at a table at the front. Incidentally, the ceremony took place in the same chamber where Václav Havel was married twice, which I considered a bonus. It began with a nice lady from the registry office who handled my case introducing me with a few words about who I was to the deputy mayor who was officiating. Then it was time to recite the oath of citizenship, or Stato Občanský slib, which I had been advised to memorise. It read, in Czech of course, "On my honour I promise loyalty to the Czech Republic. I promise that I will uphold the Constitution and other laws of the Czech Republic." After that, the deputy mayor handed me a document confirming my citizenship, shook my hand, and that was it. The whole thing had been really rather sweet and modest in that typical Czech way. But more importantly, I was now Občan Willoughby, with only a little more paperwork to do. As for why I took the step, there were a number of reasons. I'm married to a Czech, so that would make it relatively smooth. As an Irishman, I could have dual citizenship. It's not so hard to get Czech citizenship now. What's to say that won't change down the line? I'd be able to trade in my clunky permanent residence, which resembled a passport, for credit card-sized ID. But above all, I thought, I live here, I'm not going anywhere, and wouldn't it be great to be able to vote? The first step to obtaining citizenship is passing Czech language and general knowledge tests. If you've lived here and taken interest in the culture, the general knowledge part, which is multiple choice, is a doddle. Before even starting to prepare, I got around 70% right on an online sample test in about a third of the time usually allotted. Also, there are only 300 possible questions in 30 categories, and once you've learned those, it's near impossible to go wrong in the actual exam. Some of the questions are along the lines of what do Czechs eat for Christmas dinner? But some would be tough even for natives, such as how many months can somebody receive unemployment benefit? Answer 11. The language test was harder. My Czech is average at best in view of how long I've been here, but still the listening and reading comprehension and short writing exercise posed no major challenges. The worst part for me was the oral exam, in which one is paired with a stranger. After saying a few words about herself, myself and the older Bulgarian lady I was drawn with had to role-play being colleagues agreeing on a sporting activity. We made a date to go swimming. Around a month later, when my results arrived, they only say if you've passed, not the score you got, the real work began. The woman at the Prague 3 registry office gave me a list of all the documentation I needed, with the catch being that stamps from various offices may not be more than 30 days old when you actually submit your application. A round of visits to state offices followed. These included social services, for proof that I had never drawn unemployment allowance, and the customs office, which I'd never had anything to do with in my life, for proof that I didn't owe them any money. Many of these documents came by post, so there was a slightly nervous period of worrying that some might be late and send me right back to square one. I thought it would be wise to be in Prague for the entire month, as there were quite a lot of things to sort out, including getting a verified copy of the official translation that I already had of my birth certificate. In the end, all the necessary documents did actually arrive within the 30 days, so I was set. Alongside that, I had to fill in a questionnaire and write a motivational letter. I can't remember much about the letter, but I did highlight my work for Radio Prague, imagining this might be in my favour. An English friend mentioned in his letter that he'd actually represented the Czech Republic in the table football game Subutio. He got his citizenship way faster than me, so that evidently did the trick. Frankly, I'd been so stressed by the red tape and getting everything done on time that the process had come to feel like one almighty chore. But I realised it meant a lot more than that when I finally handed in my enormous pile of documents and the lady at the registry office smiled and said, "Good luck. We're looking forward to having you as our fellow citizen." It was a genuinely moving moment. She assured me that most applications like mine were passed and that it would take the Ministry of the Interior around a year to do all the processing. And lo and behold, 10 or 11 months later she called, telling me my citizenship had been approved and offering me a couple of dates for the citizenship ceremony. As mentioned above, there were still a couple of bureaucratic bits of business remaining. One was handing in my permanent residence permit. It was only as I left the Migration Police Centre that it struck me. Never again will I have to come to this awful place. To be fair, though, it had long ceased to be the hellish experience of the mid-1990s. Another task was applying for a Czech birth certificate, with my own name going in the section marked Child. Also, when you become a citizen, your official address automatically becomes the local town hall. So I had to apply to make my actual address my official one again, to ensure I didn't risk losing any important mail. A few weeks later, I picked up my new ID card, which was another great moment, to complete the entire process. Getting Czech citizenship was initially quite daunting, and there are lots of hoops to jump through. It took around 15 months, longer if you count the wait, to get a slot for the language and general knowledge tests. But from my perspective, it was absolutely worth it.
Ian will be detailing his story of how he became a Czech citizen there. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that is all for now from me, Tom McEncrow. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.